Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't nobody messing around.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show? And keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine, and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Man, look at Dwayne Wade's hot pink pants. Something is wrong with that ball. What's up, everybody? It's week number 4 in the month of May 2012, and we'd like to welcome you back to your favorite roundtable. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me are my partners, Jimmy Williams, Akil Bayon, and later on we'll be joined by Paul Johnson. Today, we'll comment on the hot topics from the week, and of course we'll be talking NBA playoffs. As usual, we want you guys to chime in during the show, so jump into the JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call in and talk to us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Before we get started, you know we got to show some love to some of our partners in the industry, so make sure you check out Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio, and follow them at the BS Line. Also, check out Brandon and Chris on Sports Trap Radio every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on ueradiolive.com. Follow those guys on Twitter as well, at Sports Trap Radio. Check out our Chicago fam, Jeff, P. Coop, and the lovely Juana of Ranked Top 5 Sports Talk Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, also on Blog Talk Radio. And finally, make sure you check out our ladies, Shell, Kia, and the gang of Hoop Girls Radio every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio as well. If good sports talk is what you're looking for, then make sure you check out these shows. Lastly, don't forget that in addition to right now, you can also catch our show, The War Room, on newvibradio.com. That is NUVIBE radio.com, every Friday at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you listen up. Yo, Jimmy, you want to take us into that birthday segment real quick?
My birthday.
I got it, good brother.
Yay.
What's up, everybody?
Yo.
Chilling,
yes, sir. And for those who are listening for the first time, possibly, our birthday segment is brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. They're located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. And some of y'all young ladies, I mean, the summer is getting hot out there. You need to really take care of your hair, and y'all walking around looking a wreck. So holla at Lisa, man. It's Days of Beauty Hair Salon, located, again, 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. To give them a call, it's 301-839-4472. Shout out to them for sponsoring our birthdays, but let's get right into them. The first birthday is one marvelous Marvin Nathaniel Hagler turned 60.
It's my birthday. Yay!
What up,
Marvin Hagler. No doubt. Phil, marvelous Marvin Nathaniel Hagler. What comes to mind when I say this gentleman's name?
Well, what comes to mind is how B. Austin said that Sugar Ray Leonard was overrated.
Yo, that's exactly what I was thinking.
So, and one that, you know, people, it's funny because I don't think he would say that Marvin Hagler was overrated, but Sugar Ray Leonard beat Marvin Hagler as well as Tommy Hearns. But, yo, all-time great boxer, yo, 62-3 in two draws, and he's from Newark, New Jersey, so... Homie was a beast. Shout out to him.
They fought a lot back then, man.
Crazy, man. Yeah, they used to fight like every 2 weeks and needed a check.
They had to because their checks were small and they were fighting on regular TV. Remember you could sit down on Saturday and watch a fight on ABC? That's what I'm reminded of when I think of Marvin Hagler. You know what I mean?
It's funny because I remember that. And remember Ali was fighting back then. He was past his prime. But back when we were younger, you could watch him
get put high. Watch him get destroyed on ABC for free. But Marvin Hagler, when I was a kid, he always seemed like a mean dude to me. He always had the angry look on his face. So he was like that scary boxer. Like, he was like, even though he wasn't a heavyweight, to me he was like that real life version of the cats that Rocky fought, like Mr. T. Like, they always mad and really didn't like him personally and wanted to kill him and stuff like that. That was Marvin Hagler, man.
Yeah, I know. It's funny you say that because I actually thought about that when I saw his birthday come. I'm like, yo, why does he always seem angry? But then again, when you're making a living by getting punched in the face, I guess you got to have, like, you know, a little bit of, you know, something wrong with you. But
Clubber Lang ass dude.
Yeah, definitely one of the all-time greats. He turned 60. Shout out to him.
Another thing about those boxers back then, a lot of those fights went 15 rounds. Nobody goes 15 rounds now, dude.
Yeah. That's why all those fighters like 50 Tyson now.
All the fighters say Mike Tyson, now they turned into 50 Tyson. But, yo, that's hilarious. The next birthday is one. Tracy.
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
Yo, anyway, the next birthday is Tracy Lamar McGrady, turns 33. And in my opinion, it's quite fitting that his middle name is Lamar, because he's the L, the A, the M-A-R. My fault. Anyway, Dev, when I say Tracy McGrady, what comes to mind?
You know, I think of an uber-talented basketball player. You know, he was given a lot of gifts, and his reign on the top was short like leprechauns because injuries, you know, have made him just an average player in the league. You know, he was the guy that everybody wanted to hold up against Kobe after Vince Carter failed, you know, what everybody's hoped to be better than Kobe. Then it was Tracy McGrady, and, you know, he was scoring, and he was lights out, and then the back injuries came and the knee injuries came, and now he's sitting on the bench in Atlanta behind people that, you know, couldn't even sniff his level when he was at his best. And he still hasn't been out of the first round. Come on, Tracy.
Get in that ass, speak fast, I leper. My fault, I'll kill him.
Yeah, man. Tracy McGrady, first thing I think of is
my neck, my back, my neck and my back. Oh.
And, you know, how Dev alluded to that he's never been out the first round, but I remember that time he said in the press conference, and they were up 3-1, it feels good to be out of the first round, so that came back to haunt him. And I kind of lost respect for him when the year he led the league in scoring, like at one point he was averaging like about 30 a game, and then Kobe went on this scoring binge of all these 40-point games, and Kobe had like raised his scoring from like, I don't know, like 25 to like 28 or something. And then all of a sudden, McGrady went from like 30 to 35 for a stretch. I'm like, all right, so it took Kobe to get close to you in order for you to say, well, let me raise my scoring higher. You know, I'm like, why don't you feel like that from the beginning? So super talented guy that, you know, I think he left a lot on the table. He averaged 4 points this year, and Kobe was second in scoring.
What bothers me about him, and people always say that I was, like, you know, very critical of him when he played, because I never liked him. I always thought he was overrated. And the reason is because I think it's part of, like, we had a private conversation yesterday, with us three, when we were talking about when you, like, come from Philadelphia, there's a certain level of toughness that you, not the man, but you expect from athletes. So you don't even have to be, like, the most uber-talented guy, someone with as much talent as him, but if you play hard, we respect you. And I've actually witnessed this guy quit on his team several times, you know, just not play as hard as he possibly can. And that bothers me. And like I said, it may be like, you know, because I come from Philly and you're supposed to play a certain way, which is why I don't like Donovan McNabb. You know, I don't like coward athletes, so to speak. So I've never really, like, you know, been a T-Mac fan. I mean, I definitely respect his talent. He has a lot of talent, but, you know, hard work beats talent when talent don't work hard, quote the Tim Tebow. Anyway.
He definitely, like Kill said, though, he definitely played himself with that. It feels to be, you know, feels good to be out of the first round. Like, how stupid was that?
Jerkass!
Next birthday. this should be a fun one. Let's talk about Joe Dumars III, who turns 49.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Start with you this time, Kill. When I say Joe Dumars, Joe D, what comes to mind?
Man, great defender. You know, overrated overall in terms of being in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, great defender, team guy, one of the last of the dying breed of 6'3", 6'4", shooting guards to start a whole career in the NBA. And a solid fundamental player out of McNeese State, you know, not a big-time school, low-to-mid major. And he could shoot the ball, handle, could fill in at the one. You know, solid guy. Great GM for the first half of his GM-ship and bad GM for the second half of his GM-ship.
Do you think that he has a plan at least?
Yeah, now he's turning into MJ.
do you see, like, I know that he's made some questionable moves recently, but do you think he has a plan? Like, when you see what he's doing with the team, do you think he actually has a plan or he's just waiting?
Wait, check this out. When, I'm a Bulls fan, and I don't think we should have threw that money at Ben Gordon. So he goes and throws, like, $50 million at Ben Gordon, like $40 million at Charlie Villanueva the summer before the biggest summer almost ever in NBA history. I'm like, why are you going to hang your hat, throw, like, $90 million into Villanueva and Gordon when you have all these other guys coming up the next year? Now, and they're strapped with them, and they suck. And they continue to suck. So...
Yeah. Man, Joe Dumars.
Kill already alluded to it, but, you know, Joe Dumars is such a nice guy that a lot of people are not really going to like this, but. Okay, and let me explain to the people out there who are frowning at their computers, radios, or phones right now. Overrated doesn't necessarily mean that you're bad. But in my opinion, and it seems like I share this opinion with most of my brothers in the war room, Joe Dumars is not a Hall of Fame level player or a Hall of Fame level talent. I think he was a very good player. I think he's a great person. He was maybe even a little more than a very good defender. But I don't really see anything he did that should have him in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, that's all the slandering I'm going to do of Joe Dumars because I don't dislike him personally. I just wanted y'all to know that.
I like Joe Dumars as a player. I think he was a good player, not a great player, definitely not a Hall of Famer. And I think he's not only overrated as an overall player, I think he's overrated as a defender. Because how is Mike – everybody called him a great defender once Mike says so. Like, Mike's word is gospel.
That's true.
But
and you know what,
he's a great defender while giving him 40.
That's all I'm about to say.
He played a mind game with him.
People like Mike say that kind of stuff to Sun Yu. He'll give you props. Because he gave you 40 a bunch of times, and like you said, everybody just go ahead and believe it. He was such a great defender, then why was you busting his ass all the time?
Yo, I think that's their way of making themselves look good. Like, yo,
yeah.
He's a great defender.
I think
defender.
Mike sunned him for a
yo,
little bit.
Yo, so you gave 40 to a great defender. Come on, man. F-O-H, man. Yo, there's no way that he should have been in the Hall of Fame, man. Like, dude is definitely an overrated athlete. Very nice guy. You know, from I don't know him personally, but from what you see and the way he conducts and carries himself, he's a nice guy. So, you know, my grandma always told me that it don't cost nothing to be nice, and sometimes it works to your benefit, and that's the truth. Because some of these players, like idiots,
Joe,
you know, when it comes time for them to get in,
Joe,
they don't get
Donovan,
in.
All these nice guys.
So,
so wait,
anyway,
Joe.
Let's move to the next birthday. This is one Richard A., a.k.a. Rich Rodriguez, turns 49.
My birthday! Yay!
Dev, Rich Rodriguez.
Rich Rodriguez, embattled college football coach. You know, he had the big job, couldn't really do much with the big job. You know, been knocked down a peg. There's nothing really much I can say about Rich Rodriguez, man. I don't really follow his career all like that. But, yeah, all I can really remember of him that really makes a difference in my mindset is him failing at Michigan. Other than that, Rich Rod doesn't really, you know, he don't really strike a chord with me too tough.
Doc Bay, what's your opinion of one Rich Rodriguez?
Well, it's interesting. To me, he's like, along with John Beilein, they both were at West Virginia, and they both got the most out of West Virginia, John Beilein with basketball and Rich Rodriguez with football. It took them, you know, to the top of the Big East, and they both went on to the Big Ten to take bigger jobs at Michigan, and they both failed miserably. And it's kind of one of those things where, you know, hindsight is 2020, but they're both probably looking back like, man, we should have just stayed at West Virginia for, you know, and done like a Boeheim or, you know, even the Jim Larranaga at George Mason when you're there for 20 years and you own the town and you're chilling. Now he's at Arizona, which is cool, in the Pac-10. I guess he figured, well, it doesn't work in the Big Ten. Maybe I'll go to the Pac-10 or Pac-16, whatever it's about to be.
Pac-96.
I know, right? And another thing, it's a guy that I know that I see in passing every now and then, and his name is Ray Rodriguez, right? And anytime he sees me, like, hey, what's up, Akil? How you doing? And every time I see him, I have to, like, move Rich Rodriguez out of my mind, name Rich out of my mind, and say, hey, Ray. And then it's funny. I ran into the guy today, and he was like, what's up, Akil? And I was like, what's up, Ray? Like, and I've been doing that for, like, 3 years now. Like, it's crazy.
I know. I thought he was going to say, like, after you've been calling him Ray, dude was like, yo, my name is Jeff. Like,
it's crazy because he coached at his alma mater, which was West Virginia, but actually, you know, it's no longer there. So it's funny because most people, that's like their dream job, their alma mater. But, you know, anyway, it didn't work out there. But to me, he's a list of guys who seem to always be able to get a job. It's like the coaching fraternity is so small, and that's how it's in every sport, whether it's collegiate or on a professional level. It's like guys just rotate jobs. So I really have nothing at all positive or negative, for that matter, to say about Rich Rodriguez. So we can just move on. Those are the birthdays for this week. Dad, tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind.
We'll do that. While y'all are on the grind, it's brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. You can check out their website for the hottest selection of rims and tires on the internet. Somebody might want to screen that call. All right, this week, a Florida high school student, actually he was a high school graduate, he was punished for T-bowing on stage at his graduation right before receiving his diploma. And what the school did, they took exception to it. His mother, who was a math teacher there, she took exception to it. So the deal they made with him is he couldn't get his diploma until he cleaned the gymnasium the next day, which was where the actual graduation was held. And he said he did this on a $5 bet, plus he just wanted to make graduation memorable. What do you think about the whole thing, Kill? Do you think they overreacted by making the dude clean the gym?
It's like, being in education circles, I totally understand where the school was coming from. But as the average person, it sounds really stupid and ridiculous. But yeah. from the education circle, what it is with graduation, principals and administrators want to make sure that no one person, you know, does anything to outshine everybody on that momentous day. Whereas now to the point where kids are getting held back from their diploma. If their family's too loud, they want everybody to hold their applause. They don't want anybody doing like a backflip or anything just to steal the limelight from the whole entire day. So the thing is, I'm sure their principal and their administrators spoke to all the kids about that because that's what they do. So when that kid did that, he kind of knew that he was going to have to face some consequences.
I have a quick question about the story, though. Is it true that it was his mother that punished him, though?
She was one of the people. She's a math teacher at the school, and she didn't like it, just like the principal didn't like it. So they got together and made the dude clean the gym before he could get his diploma.
That's what I was trying to figure out, because when I first read the story, it said that it was his mom who dealt out all the discipline. It wasn't the school at all. So I didn't know what the true story was.
I was like,
if that's his mom that's doing that, it has nothing to do with the school. It's like they're throwing the school under the bus for no reason, but I mean, I don't know what the true story is.
But do you think his mom would have really allowed them to withhold his diploma if he didn't clean the gym? I wouldn't have cleaned nothing. All right, get out of here, Mom.
Yes. Now, I've sat on these type of situations, and the administrators basically threaten the students. They say, hey, look, like, if you do something, you know, you might not get your diploma for another week or 2 weeks. You may have to come to school the next. I mean, they put different threats out there to keep people in line.
Right. Plus, I think it's one of those things where they don't want a bunch of copycats, you know, everybody trying to celebrate or do something. But, yeah, it was crazy. But Real quick, before we go to the next story, we're going to go to the phone lines real quick. We got Patrick calling from the D.C. area. Patrick, what's up, man? You're in the war room.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Just want to call, say good show, good show. I missed a couple of shows, but I'm gonna try to keep listening.
No doubt.
I just had one quick question though, since I had missed a few shows. I didn't know if you guys were able to cover the Tupac hologram yet.
No, we that's a question for you, Jimmy. That's a question for Jimmy.
yo, all I'm saying is this, man. If a Tupac hologram can come back, then a lot of holograms can come back. I was thinking about this the other day. I said, sometimes when I have to go in office, I wish I could have sent a hologram in there. But the fact that they put his hologram back does not make his music any more powerful or stronger. And for those who don't understand this, Tupac, in my opinion, is overrated. I'll say it again, because I know Patrick is trying to, like, make me say this, and I'll say it on the air again. Tupac is overrated.
Come on, man.
Now, I'm not saying Tupac is
Jimmy, popular. You know what? I read an article today that said Tupac's hologram got shot.
Oh, man.
Yo, I swear to y'all, that is not my joke. I read an article today that said that. I forgot what it was.
Hey, Patrick, Tupac has one great album in me, man, and that's The Greatest Hits. Because it gets to all
the greatest. He's the greatest of all time, man.
He's the greatest of
all time.
In the Shakur family?
Name another rapper that has a hologram.
that's the standard right now. Who has the hologram?
Who's got the hologram,
yeah,
baby?
That's the new
measure all the
time.
All Eyes On Me was a hot album. I got to admit, All Eyes On Me was a hot album.
If you go back,
I'm kind of with Jimmy on that one. I can't listen to that whole album all the way through.
But, yo, it had a lot of trash on it. If he had made it one CD as opposed to two, it possibly could have been a classic album. But he had a bunch of fluff, like cats like Drew Down and a bunch of dudes with Jerry curls on there. He shouldn't have had on there, man. Like some of that music is.
But you know, Jim, when you're in the pen, you know you got a lot of material to get off your chest.
Oh man, go ahead, man.
He could have threw out like a triple CD after that.
Yo, come on, hey, Patrick. Yeah. You gotta admit, Patrick. When the last time you listened to Tupac? Though, seriously.
Man, right before I called y'all. I got it right here, man. And then after that, man, I think I'm going to watch me a couple movies, maybe Poetic Justice.
Because we go out to a different song every week, man. We're going to get some Tupac in the mix.
My man.
Hey, Patrick, real quick, what's your outlook on Georgetown this upcoming year on the basketball court?
I think they're gonna be all right. We got some moves. I know we lost a couple of guys, but you know we had a lot of young guys play last year. They got a couple freshmen coming in. I think they're gonna be all right. I think it's gonna be a process. I think the main thing, of course, you know, we got to make sure we play ball in the tournament. But they always have a good tough non-conference schedule.
Process, yeah. I just knew Pat was gonna say national championship.
Nah. Well, you know, when we get in the mix of trash talking, anything goes. But I think they're going in the right direction. I just hope the big men step up. Moses was hurt last year, so he should be able to play this year. So we just got a freshman that committed. Well, for incoming freshman just committed, so we'll see.
Hey, tell me this, Otto Porter, baby. Just remember that name. Hey, Patrick, how is it that the Detroit Pistons keep drafting Georgetown products, whether it's the shooter they had, I forgot his name, but they have the big man Greg Monroe, and then they just signed the guy that transferred to Florida. They used to call him 757.
Oh, Macklin.
Yeah, Macklin.
Yeah, they had
Summers,
they had Monroe, they had Monroe and Macklin, they had Williams there. I don't know.
Might be
talent,
like
man.
Cool with the Thompsons or something.
Yeah.
Man, God,
but you notice ever since they started that, Detroit hasn't won anything, so maybe they should stop. I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
Because they draft from Georgetown, and there's a pop in the locker room, man. Hey, Patrick, man, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Y'all take it easy.
All right, man.
Yeah, Dad, well, before he came on, you were saying that you didn't think that the young man's mom would allow that to happen in terms of him not getting his diploma.
Yeah, like, I mean, the punishment, they just wanted the gym clean. That's all.
When I read the story, it read completely different, and that's why I was like, I was kind of confused. I was like, his mom bought the punishment, and she was holding his diploma like, yo, I'm not allowing him to give it to you until you have to be punished for what you did. But, you know, it was kind of weird. I was like, so what's the point of the story then?
And what high schooler cares about that piece of paper? I got the record.
That's why I thought that they were just reaching for a story because, like, sometimes you read articles and the headline draws you in and it's reaching for you to read it. Like, really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. They just want to, whatever. All right, but did y'all hear about, last week, well, earlier in the week when OKC finished off the Lakers, during the celebration, seven people were shot. I ain't even mean to say that now. Seven people were shot during the celebration. But listen to this. Listen to the story. Listen to what the police officer said. He said a group of guys was arguing with a group of women, and one of the guys pulled a gun out and opened fired on a group of women and shot seven of them.
Hold on, where do they do that?
In the streets.
Sean, take the image. Like, come on, man.
Like, what kind of argument could they really have been having, you know, that causes them to take out a gun and shoot the crowd?
Yo,
I was, like,
kind of
wondering if the dude had on a Lakers jersey or something, and they were, like, you know, clowning him or something, and he just couldn't take it no more. I don't get it. Who does that?
Don't you want to know?
Yeah, I mean, not that it makes any more sense to do it to a bunch of men, but it sounds worse to shoot a group of women.
And one of them was pregnant.
Yeah, well, actually, the pregnant one, I believe, was the eighth. Because there were actually eight people who went to the hospital, but only seven people had gotten shot. But I do think the pregnant one was one of the people who got shot. And out of the eight altogether, only one of them was, like, in critical condition. I haven't really heard an update of her condition, but that's a wacky story, man. Like,
you must have been listening to that Mills or something.
They better stop listening to all that Tupac.
Yo. Yo, I'm, like, seriously, though, it just doesn't – oh, man. Like, there's almost – a word almost needs to be invented for – someone that does something like that, walk up to a crowd of females after a sporting event and just shoot the whole group. Like, that doesn't make any sense, man. It's
all right, man. Now, you know where I'm going to go with this, because this story was really only in the news for like a day. Imagine if this would have happened in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Come on.
Man. Yeah, that's
people booed a skinny dude in a Santa costume back in the 1960s, and they still talk about it every other week on all those sports news stations. This dude shot seven people.
Yo, if this would have happened in Philly, they would have made the Sixers and Eagles move for, like, jerseys.
Like, we can't do it anymore in front of these fans. This is. All right, so moving on, man, because I don't even talk about that no more. That's crazy. Did y'all hear about O.C. Umenyiora? He went on Twitter basically offering to, you know, because Lawrence Taylor was auctioning off his Super Bowl ring because he needs some dough. So OC goes on to Twitter. He's new to Twitter at this point and says, well, first he started with a million, but he said if he gets 500,000 followers by 10 p.m. that Saturday, I forgot what actual day this was that he did it, he said he would buy the ring and return it to Lawrence Taylor for, you know, for whatever the auction price is. All right, so 10 p.m. that Saturday came, and the dude had 54,000 followers. This a case of OC not being as popular as he thinks he is, or, you know, people
well,
not
we
caring
don't believe
about
you. You need more people.
Or is it people not caring about Lawrence Taylor and his money problems? Personally, I think it has everything to do with OC Umenyiora being a noodle. Because I don't know if y'all remember, He jumped on Twitter like months after he and LeSean McCoy had this little verbal sparring match in the media, and, you know, he's still talking stuff about LeSean McCoy months later, and then went on the next day to apologize.
How many followers was he trying to get?
He was trying to get 500,000. He started out with a million. I guess somebody told him, like, dog, you're tripping. He takes it down to 500 grand, and he only gets 54,600.
Noodle.
Like, come on, OC.
Yo, the thing is, I think another thing, a couple angles I have to have is, one, like, OC obviously is out of touch with reality, thinking that's going to get him more Twitter followers. And also, you know, with Lawrence Taylor, we don't know why he sold his ring. Either he's down on his luck in terms of money, or he's reverted back into his drug addiction. You know, we don't know if he's clean or not. But even if he did buy it back and then give it back to Lawrence Taylor, who's to say he's not going to sell it again? You know what I'm saying?
If I'm LT, I would have sold it again. Ain't nobody paid to do this.
So LT might be taking.
I don't know, man. I was banging 7 gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
Yo. It's my thing, man. Like, Lawrence Taylor is okay with me because he supports the toots. And without support for the toots, that's a strong economy that we need. Anyway, listen, though. My question is, who does he think wants to follow him? Like, well, he's not even considered, in my opinion, a popular athlete. Like, why am I following OC of all the people I could follow?
Yo, he's not even popular in his own organization. He's been begging for a contract for the last year. Giants won't even follow you. How you going to get 500,000 people to follow you in 2 days? Come on, man. Sit down somewhere, OC.
Yeah. He should be ashamed of himself, man.
And if you do get a job this year, I hope LeSean McCoy shake his ankles off. But anyway, moving on to the next story. Yo, man, Ocho Cinco got robbed yesterday. Somebody broke into his truck and stole like $200 in Starbucks cards. This dude took to Twitter and was like really angry about it because he said it took a lot of coffee and a lot of lemon loaf cakes, you know, for him to build up that many Starbucks points to have the, you know, that kind of money on his cards. So, you know, of course, everything he does on Twitter turns into a big deal because, like we spoke about last week, he's been, like, reverted down to a average athlete, but he's still top five in the league at getting attention. So with his Twitter campaign, Starbucks actually returned his money to him, so he got the free money back, even though he's already rich. Like, would they do this for a regular person?
Not at all, but I guess it depends upon your following. I think that we are moving towards an economy that if you have a huge following, it can show numbers that, you know, companies will reward you. But with that being said, Ocho Cinco, man, they have an iPhone as well as an Android app for Starbucks where your actual phone is where your card is stored.
Exactly.
I know that because I use it personally. So why are you still carrying around the card, man? It's 2012, babe. Cut it out.
Okay. Yo, where was he? Where was he when, like, was he in some hood or is it in a suburb, city? Like, that's crazy.
I don't even know where he was. But
I know he was in a rented Escalade. I think it was, but hold on, though. Why is he, I don't know, this whole story, man. He was just trying to get attention.
Yeah. Sending this one out to my man Killer B.
Maybe he was up in Queensbridge somewhere or something.
Yeah. Think about it. Ocho Cinco had a horrible year last year. He hasn't done really anything, but we've talked about him like twice in the last 3 weeks. So shout out to him because he got the whole world fooled because he stays relevant.
All right, well, yeah, shout out to him. Yeah, he got Mad Chad, the app, but he's still carrying around cards. So quick congratulations to, you know, if this is an accomplishment, Donald Driver won Dancing with the Stars. He's actually the 7th athlete to do it, and he's the 3rd football player to do it, joining Emmitt Smith and Hines Ward as the best cha-cha dudes in the NFL. So shout-out to Donald Driver.
Hey, man, Donald Driver came away, man. He went from a car seat to an NFL champion to a Dancing with the Stars champion.
let's give him a little shout-out here.
Dancing thug. He probably the one that broke in the Chad car. So real quick, let me tell everybody how you can get in touch with us. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our show, our company, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you have a small business, you might want to get down with the team. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair and Sports and War blog. Then you can click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android or Apple devices. Then you can watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook and Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. So go ahead and raise your hand, and we might just call on you. And once again, we want to give another shout-out to all of our new listeners listening on New Vibe Radio Network. That's newvibradio.com. Shout-out to all the new listeners. We hope you're enjoying the show. Jimmy.
Yes, sir. Let's get into some hot topics going on. First off, before I bring up the next topic, that is, I want to say that the hot topic is brought to you by Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. Visit audibletrial.com/warroomsports, and in no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time, like a box. Currently, I'm listening... Currently, I'm actually listening to 50 Shades of Grey, which is like soft porn. So not only that, but since this is a sports show, I have to let you know there's a lot of sports books on there. Shaq's biography, Magic's biography. I mean, all kinds of sports books that you can enjoy. So audibletrial.com/warroomsports. Real quick, I know none of you guys really watch horse or anything, but I'll have another. Won the Belmont Stakes. He's one win away from the Triple Crown. What do you guys think about this? Will he do it?
I don't know. The funny thing is, though, you know, I grew up in a house where my uncle was an avid horse racing fan, you know, probably because of the betting, but, you know, that's another story altogether. This whole thing with I'll Have Another is funny to me because it seems like every other year some horse wins the first two races of the Triple Crown and everybody's hyped. And everybody and their mom, including people who've never watched horse race in their life, tunes in for the last race to watch this horse choke at the Belmont Stakes. I don't know, like, odds or anything or this horse's chances on actually doing it. But I do know that his trainer is in a little bit of trouble over some stuff that he's been doing. His trainer is on some Victor Conti type stuff. He's gotten into a little bit of trouble over something called milkshaking. It's not the milkshaking that we think about, you know, with Khalees and not bringing nobody to the yard or nothing. But it's an illegal practice of giving a horse a blend of bicarbonate of soda, sugar, and electrolytes. So basically you're giving a horse like soda, baking soda, and some other thing in the mixture. It's like a performance-enhancing drug. It fixes the horse and his fatigue problems. So this dude is looking at a $15,000 fine and a 90-day suspension because this is not the first time that he's been caught doing this. So,
damn. I mean,
even in horse racing, yeah.
You know what, man? Even in horse racing, they might as well just allow everybody to do everything, man. Look, everybody can just juice up and do what you want to do. If you want to kill your body and destroy everything, don't be it, man, because there's no way to legislate all this nonsense, man. Shout out to Pacquiao. Shout out to Austin for not being able to respond. But listen, though. it's funny because I was in a horse racing at one point. I actually owned a horse. Not by myself. I owned a fractional share of a horse. But that's a long story. But
Jim, you said shout out to Austin for not being able to respond, but I think he can respond. Hey, Austin.
Absolutely. I'm
a hit,
baby.
We got him on line.
I'm actually live from the Prince George's Equestrian Center. Real talk, real rap, no lie. And I want to tell you that I'm looking around and I don't see any Floyd Money Mayweather cowards. None whatsoever.
You, why are you out there? Just go see if there's any milkshaking going on. Pause that. Listen though, real quick, the point I was going to make is at one point I owned a fractional share of a horse and I only did it because it allowed me to, like, you know, sit in the owner's box at the horse races. But when you do that, you realize that winning a Triple Crown, how difficult that is to do. A lot of times mm-hmm. you take it for granted because, you know, we watch basketball, football, and you see cats three-peat. Yo, winning a Triple Crown is probably one of the most difficult things to do in sports, period. That's if you do consider horse racing a sport. I know some right. people don't. So
it's more athletic than golfing. Actually,
I mean, yeah, golf's not a sport, and I don't care what anybody
says. I mean,
I'm
not even just talking about the horse. What the jockey is doing is more athletic than golfing.
I mean, so, the jockeys have to be at it. First of all, I ain't going to get into that, these little jockeys, these little 2-foot-1, 86-pound men. No grown
men.
They
be having attitude, though. With attitude. Like,
yeah,
I'm
sure you're starving yourself. You probably will have attitude.
Oh, Oompa Loompas. But no, to Jimmy's point of how difficult it is, there hasn't been a Triple Crown winner since affirmed in 1978. Since then, there's been 12 horses who've won the two of the three races and then, of course, choked when it came to winning the Triple Crown. And the last time there was an attempt was in 2008. That's weird because, you know, it's already 2012. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago that a horse was trying for that. To me, it seems like every year they get excited about a horse that's trying to win the Triple Crown. But
yo, now check this out. How come it's like a horse always wins the first two and loses the third, but a horse never, like, loses the first and then wins the next two, and they never say, like, oh, man, they could have won it if they won the first one?
Because they are related to LeBron.
I was waiting for it.
My bad. That was too easy. My bad. All right, so that you know, we spent a lot of time on horse racing. So the UFC 146 is coming up. So I'll let Jimmy tell us who's on that fight card.
The main fight. And shout out to Ezra from Media Sports Talk. I know he's an MMA fan. He's in our chat room. The fights I'm looking forward to seeing are a couple. Roy Nelson, Big Country versus Dave Herman. These are main card events, by the way, because they always give you an undercard, and UFC is crazy. They put fights on Facebook at like 6:45. After that, you can go to FX and watch it, and then after that, the pay-per-view. So if you start to watch it on Facebook and FX, they pretty much have got you ready to buy it because there's no way you want to stop at that point. That's how
that's
I end
actually
up buying
smart. That's really smart. That is really smart way to market there.
Because by the time you don't watch like five fights, you're all into it, and you realize that the better fighters are on a pay-per-view event, there's no way you can't buy it. So,
how many of the fights are on pay-per-view, though? It's not just the main event.
On pay-per-view, it's about five fights.
Okay, I see what you're saying. So that starts at like 9, like because the last fight.
Yeah, pay-per-view, pay-per-view starts at 10. Pay-per-view starts
okay, because we got the last fight, and it started late, so I guess I missed some early fights because I wasn't watching them.
Yeah. Right. So, like, the Facebook part will start like 6:45, and it lasts like an hour and a half till around 8 o'clock, 8:15, they'll go on FX and give you some. It's like as the day progresses, they give you the better fight. So FX,
and they did this for 145 also with Bones Jones and Rashad.
I mean, what I heard, you ain't even tell us that.
You ain't even tell us that last time. We sitting around bored waiting for the fights to start at like 10 o'clock. And then when those fights started, they kept talking about all the earlier fights, and I didn't know what the hell they were talking about.
It's funny, though, because, like, as the day goes on in the competition, like, you know, it gets better and better. So by the time you watch the FX card, which is free, of course, there's no way you won't buy the pay-per-view. So they got it all together. But Roy Big Country Nelson fighting Dave Herman. The two biggest fights are, one, Cain Velasquez, the former champion, fighting a guy named Antonio Bigfoot Silva. Now, if you know your name is Bigfoot Silva, you know you got a bout game. And the main event is Frank Mir versus Junior Dos Santos, and I'm actually looking forward to this. This is for the actual heavyweight championship. Junior Dos Santos is a knockout artist. This dude has a punch that's out of this world, but Frank Mir is more well-rounded, in my opinion, you know, in terms of having a ground game and being able to do all types of mixed martial arts. But like Mike Tyson always says, once you get hit, game plans go out the window, and dude Junior Dos Santos throws bricks. But I don't know if anybody in our chat room or you know, Facebook or what have you had saw the previous card last week. It was a Strike Force card that I was mentioning on Facebook. So those are some of the best fights I've ever seen. But with that being said, though, speaking of the fight game, I wish boxing would do more of this. Why does it seem like we only watch Floyd or Manny at this point? Like,
yeah, I mean, it seems like, I don't know, it seems like boxing can kind of take some notes from the interesting way that UFC is marketing itself.
You know what I would love to see, though? I don't know if I ever will see it. I want to see a mixed card where you have, like, they do it sometimes in the amateurs, where you have, like, part of it mixed martial arts and part of it boxing.
Yeah, that'd be hot.
Mm-hmm. Part of the problem with
Whatever happened to kickboxing? Remember they used to have kickboxing come on TV?
Doesn't come on TV, but kickboxing is still big. It's funny how you, like, go see different countries. Different countries, like, different sports are a lot bigger than they are, you know, here, so to speak. Like, but kickboxing still exists, man.
Yeah, part of the problem with boxing is that
I'm having an Ezra in the chat room, man.
Yeah, that's all I mean.
Go ahead, BJ,
Ezra's crazy, man.
No, I was going to say part of the problem with boxing is one is the promoters and two is all the different, like, WBA, WBC, and all these different, like, classes. Everything is so segregated, and then you got the promoters,
right.
And it's just so much garbage intertwined in it.
Yo,
hey,
Floyd,
PJ, you remember the days when there was three federations in boxing or three divisions, whatever you call it?
Right.
WBC, WBA, and what was it?
IBF. IBF, WBC, WBA. Yeah, I remember that. Now it's like.
Now it seems like they just make different ones up so they can have their guy be the champion. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yo, how Ring Magazine get a belt? Our magazine gets up.
Yo, we talk trash about it. We should get a WRS division.
Yo, we get the WRS belt. Let's pick a fighter to give a belt to. I swear,
give it to Ty Barnett.
Like 50-11. Floyd had like 50-11 belts walking to the ring, yo. I'm
we
like, come on, man. That's ridiculous, man.
Jimmy, we could give it to Don't Lose to Lose. You lose that joint immediately. That belt would change hands immediately.
Yo.
Yeah.
There's a fighter out there fighting in the D.C. area, and I don't know his first – I know his fight name is Don't Lose, but he got 49 losses. So
crazy.
Shout out to him for calling himself Don't Lose, even though you got – matter of fact, he got 50 now, don't he?
Yeah.
He got 50 losses.
He took another
like
L,
And he on like a 14-loss losing streak.
But his name is Don't Lose. Man, shout out to him, man. Our belt would definitely change hands very fast. But so the UFC is definitely coming on this weekend. I'm looking forward to the Frank Mir versus Junior Dos Santos fight. Like I said, it's a puncher going against a more well-rounded fighter. So it's always interesting because, like you say, styles make fights, and in MMA, a lot of times there's different styles clashing. So we'll see what happens. But some more stories I want to get to. Let's talk about our NBA. What do you guys think about this? Because I really don't have any thoughts on this. It's Golden State Warriors moving from Oakland to San Fran in 2017. Now, I'm not going to pretend to know how far apart that is. Isn't Oakland and San Fran like, you know, like moving from Monterey to Germany?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it's like Camden to, like, downtown, I think. It's like moving from Camden to, like, downtown Center City or something.
So basically,
it's not really
like,
far.
Let me ask you like this. If you're a Golden State Warriors fan and you have season tickets, you probably can keep them if they move to San Fran.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because I think I think it's like a 20, 30-minute commute. You know what I'm saying?
You know
to
what?
Get from
I
San Fran.
The real estate is going to be more expensive in San Fran. And those
yeah.
tickets, they're going to have to go up on the prices. So they might have first dibs.
Cost to bring
right
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah.